Luke chapter 1, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own country. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, but for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which they were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And Lord, we ask you today to speak to us. Lord, I pray for every individual here, Lord, that you'd speak to each one of us personally today. Minister to our souls in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I had a couple little funny things I wanted to just share with you on Christmas sayings. What do you call people who are afraid of Santa Claus? Claustrophobic. It's good. It's a good one. You ladies will like this one. Anyone who believes that men are equal to women has never seen a man trying to wrap a Christmas present. It's the truth. And I read about one guy. He said, "I once bought my kids a set of batteries for Christmas with a note that said, 'Toys not included.'" That guy's cheap, right? And then the three phrases that sum up Christmas is peace on earth, goodwill to men, and batteries not included. Right? So those are just freebies. They got nothing to do with the message. We come to this topic today of peace. Peace. And I want to remind you of last week and how we spoke about joy from the same text, joy to the world. And the two are very connected, joy and peace. They're joined together in this Christmas story. Joy and peace are in some ways similar. We saw that joy is something that is not connected to circumstances, and so too with peace. Real peace. And we saw that joy is not the same as happiness. Joy is much deeper than that. It's an internal beauty that God is on your side, and that it's based in what God has done for us and how he has blessed us. Joy lies beyond the circumstances, beyond the reach of the circumstances of life. And joy is constant and consistent and unchanging and unmovable. And so too with the peace that we get from God. They both emanate from our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as we said joy is Jesus, so also peace is Jesus. In fact, Paul the Apostle said, he, speaking of Jesus, is our peace, who has broken down every wall of separation. He is our peace. This peace, this is the word here that we look at, of course, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew language, was shalom. And if you go to Israel with us, which we're heading over to Israel in October, you're welcome to come. And it means much more than the absence of war or other disturbances. In fact, when two Orthodox Jews even still meet today, they still say shalom. And, you know, you'll say that many times when you're there. And along with this peace, you know, it's a greeting, and they'll say it when they say hello, when they say goodbye, shalom, shalom. And really, it means much more than just a greeting. It carries with it the idea of health and prosperity and safety, completeness, harmony, fulfillment. It speaks of a full and satisfying life, peace. Anybody want it today? One person. No. I didn't give you much time. If we really think about it, we all want peace. And it has to do more with character, just as it doesn't, as joy doesn't have to do with circumstances, this has to do more with character than circumstances. An inner peace. Life in that day was difficult. Taxes were high. Unemployment was high. Morals were slipping. Sound familiar? And in the Greek philosophy, and even in the Jewish religion, nothing could meet the needs of men's hearts. That's why God sent his son. The Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. And we associate Christmas with peace, but it doesn't always feel like it's peaceful, does it? In fact, though, in the Bible stories, in Zechariah, the story of Zechariah, the Messiah, the birth of the Messiah, he prophesies, Zechariah is the father of John the Baptist, and he says that the God's light came to guide our feet into the path of peace in Luke 1:79. But it also not only touches on life, but also this peace touches on death. Simeon, the older man who was waiting for the promise, in chapter 2 of Luke says, "The sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace." In other words, he says, "I'm ready to go. Now that I've seen the Christ child, now that I've experienced it and I've looked at him with my own eyes, it's enough. I can go." And in our text, in our scripture text, we find in verse 14, Luke writes, "And the angels said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And to enjoy Christmas peace in our hearts and homes, we need to understand what this peace is and what it means in our own lives. We sometimes think of peace as the absence of war. And in some ways, there have been peace over Christmas time. In fact, I was reading a story of the last time this happened. 5 months into the First World War, troops along the Western Front took a Christmas Eve break from fighting to sing Christmas carols to one another across the battlefield. Imagine this. The following morning, German soldiers emerged from the trenches and began to approach the Allied troops while calling out Merry Christmas in English. And it wasn't a trick. And dozens of other of the Allied fighters came out to greet them and shake hands, even exchanging cigarettes as a gift. Not the best gift to be giving, but it's later been dubbed the Christmas Truce of 1914. It was the last example of a wartime chivalry of this kind. Interesting, but you know what? The day after Christmas, they picked up arms again. It wasn't a lasting peace, was it? And as we look at these things in regards to peace, we have to begin with something that has to start. This is where it all starts, and this text speaks of it, and that is we must begin with peace with God. See, in order to really have peace, you have to, first of all, be at peace with God. The writer really talks of it, but we do not have a clear understanding because of the way the text is written. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's the New King James Version of the text. Really, the NIV in this particular case is more accurate. Now, I'm not a nearly inspired version particularly into that, thinking that that's the best version. But in this particular case, it really means, and here's how it reads, on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. God's peace is not given to those who have goodwill. It's not that you are somebody who has goodwill or you treat others this way and then you'll get the peace of God. Certainly there's an element of truth to that. But it's on whom the recipients of the goodwill of God. In other words, it's about whether you've received the favor of God or, as we like to call it, the grace of God. You see, this is the only way to begin to have peace, is to have received the grace of God. Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There's not a single thing we can do to save ourselves. It's a gift. And we love gifts on Christmas, right? We're all into gifts. I asked my granddaughter, so are you excited about Christmas? She said, I can't wait to open my gifts. We all love gifts, but how about the gift of God? Salvation is a gift of God. It's the grace of God. Therefore, it says in Romans 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope to the glory of God. Grace, God's unmerited favor. This is where peace begins. Do you want peace in your life? I do. Then I must receive the grace of God. I must open my heart to the grace of God. Think about before you're a Christian, those of you who know the Lord, did you have peace? I had nothing but conflict. I grew up in a home where we had a lot of conflict. In fact, we fought every day whether we needed to or not. And the Bible says that before we know Christ, we're at enmity with God. We are enemies of the Lord. In fact, in Ephesians 2, once again, it says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That was your condition before you knew the Lord. You were dead. I don't know if you've been to a funeral, but dead men don't do much. You can go up, you could try to feed a dead man a steak. And let me tell you, he wouldn't be able to eat it. And it says, in which you were once walked according to the course of this world. The idea there is you were wandering, you were meandering according to the course of this world. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Chris? Well, listen, Christmas season, we know what this means. Anybody got any Christmas shopping still to do yet? I'm going to start mine tomorrow. I didn't want to leave it till the last minute, so I'm going to do it tomorrow instead of Christmas Eve. And, you know, I have a list. I've got a list, and I only have to buy for one person, which is fortunate for me. And I did do some Christmas shopping. I shouldn't say that. I sat at my computer and did a little Christmas shopping yesterday. Isn't that wonderful you can do that? I wish I had planned it better and I could have done it all just sitting at my computer. Because I'm not looking forward to going to the stores. It's going to disturb my peace. I'm sure of that. But you know, this idea, when I go Christmas shopping tomorrow, I will get up early and I've got my list. And I'm going to identify the store, if I can, that has everything I need. I will not shop price. I will be hunting. I will go in, I will buy, I will conquer, and I will leave. It'll be over. But that is not what most ladies like to do in Christmas shopping. They like to just go shopping, right? That's what this verse is saying. Meandering, wandering. And, you know, you walk through, do you want to buy that? Oh, I don't know. It's just kind of a nice little thing. And we men, it's hard for us. We're like, let's move on. Let's go. You know. Now, I do know a few men, they like to shop, but, you know, that's their problem. So, but that's the idea here. You're wandering across this world. You didn't have any focus. You didn't have any purpose. You didn't have any goal. You didn't have any direction. That's what we were. And we didn't have any peace because we didn't have any focus or direction. And then also, it says that you were walking according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience. Your life was being controlled, directed by Satan. You may not have known that. You may not have realized that. And if you don't know the Lord today, you may not think that. You may not walk in here today saying, yeah, I'm a Satan worshiper. You know, you don't think that way. But in fact, if you're not serving God, you're serving him. You're going to serve one or the other. And it says, among whom you were once conducted yourself in the lust of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of your flesh and your mind, you were by nature children of wrath, just as others also. In other words, you didn't have any peace. Does this sound like peace? Dead in your trespass and sins, walking according to the course of this world, prince of the power of the air, desire of the flesh, lust of the flesh, nature of the children of wrath. There's no peace in that. But when we came to Christ, we have peace with God. And that's the peace the angels are talking about. You see, they proclaim peace on earth. Has there been peace on earth since they said it? From a, you know, absence of war standpoint, I don't think there's ever been any, ever. So it cannot mean peace on earth the way it's often propagated. In fact, it's speaking about the peace that you can have because the Savior of the world has come. You remember we talked about that last week in relationship to joy, that the whole connection is the fact that he is the Savior. The Savior has been born, Christ the Lord. And you need a Savior. I need a Savior. And peace with God only comes through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you want to find this peace this Christmas, if you don't know the Lord, you don't yet have a relationship with the Lord, I'm going to give you a chance to do that at the end of the service. To pray and open your heart and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you will have peace flood into your life. How many of us couldn't even say that when we got saved, that's what happened. We had a peace that we never had before. All of a sudden, there was something like everything was different, right? God gave us a peace. Well, secondly, not only when we talk about Christmas peace and finding peace at Christmas time, not only is it important that we get the peace with God, we've got to have that peace with God, first of all, or you will have no peace in your life. You may act peaceful, but it doesn't mean you'll be at peace within your heart because you've got a God-shaped void in your heart. But secondly, since we have come to Christ, if you know Christ, you want to be at peace with men. Not only do you want peace with God, but you want to be at peace with men. It's another aspect of the peace that we can have. And when Christ was born into this world, he began a work of redemption. And that work of redemption was a work of reconciliation. He was reconciling man to God. But in that process, when he reconciled man to God, he also desires to reconcile man to man to woman, man to people to people, you see. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, it says, if it is possible, talking to the Christian, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Goes on to say, beloved, do not avenge yourself or give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, here's what it says. If your enemy is hungry, slam the door in his face. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. And in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And you're like, yeah. So all I got to do is give him some food and give him some drink, and he's going to walk away with his head burning. That's the way I get revenge. I hate to disappoint you, but that's not what the text really means. In fact, the next verse says, so do not overcome evil, be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So it's got to be talking about something far different than pouring hot coals on somebody's head and watching their hair burn. Well, in fact, it was a cultural thing in the Oriental culture and a custom. There was fire that was in the center of each village, and it was kept going day and night. And the fire was used to light the fires in each of the individual homes. And every morning, one of the village youth would put a container on his head with hot coals from that fire, and he would go from house to house distributing those coals to bless people with the hot coals. He would also, on a cold day, get blessed himself. Because as you probably know, heat goes out from your head. That's why those of us who have bald heads need to wear hats during the cold season. I didn't have to wear one today because it's going to be 70 degrees. But the heat from the coals would bless this youth and warm him, both his head and his hands. So to heap coals of fire on someone's head meant to warm them and by extension to bless them. I know, some of you are disappointed. You were hoping. But here's the thing. If you want to have peace this Christmas, make every attempt to be at peace with all men. That's the point. And listen, family dynamics bring in some interesting things during the holidays, don't they? But we are called to peace. We're called to peace. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12 says, pursue peace with all people, including your relatives. That's not in the text, but you get it. And holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest anyone, any root of bitterness. See, that's the danger. If you don't deal with relationships, with problems in relationships, if you don't forgive others, you're going to have bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by this many will become defiled. We're to pursue peace. And if we don't pursue peace, the writer here says the grace of God in our life is in question. Why? Because if you've received the grace of God yourself, you will be moved to forgive others. And if you're not moved to forgive others, you've got to wonder how far the grace of God has really gone in your own heart. You're going to want to forgive because you know what it's like to be forgiven. And this Christmas, listen to me, this Christmas, you have the opportunity, you as the Christian, Jesus said, you're the light of the world, you're the salt of the earth. Be the salt and the light. You have this opportunity to do this. You can give the gift of forgiveness to someone this year. And let me tell you, that's a more valuable gift than you can ever buy in any store, no matter where you might look. That's the most valuable thing you can do. You say, well, wait a minute. You know, okay, you want me to forgive. You want me to be reconciled. You want me to do this. Okay, I'll consider this. But what if they're wrong? What if they are just so wrong? Can I tell you something? That's the point. So what if they're wrong? You see, we're called to be obedient. And the peace that we're searching for, if you've got turmoil and anxiety in your life, and listen, relationships really bring great turmoil, don't they? If relationships aren't right, we have turmoil. And let me guard you against doing something. This is the danger. You pray about somebody, and many of us, there's someone that's coming to your mind right now. Maybe it's more than one. And they're in your mind right now. And you're thinking, okay, all right, I could try to do this. And you pray. And you say, okay, Lord, The Lord is showing me, oh man, the Lord is really speaking to me. I got to be at peace with this person. So I'm going to reach out to them. It's Christmas time. I'm going to extend the olive branch. I'm going to reach out to them. I'm going to try to restore. And so you go to them and you go with great expectation, right? You go to them, you say, will you please forgive me? And I just really want to be restored with you. And they look at you and they go, it's about time. And you went with expectation thinking they're going to cry, they're going to feel bad, and they're going to say they're sorry too, and they don't do it. You know, that's the danger. But you know what? When Jesus prayed and Jesus asked for the Father to forgive them for they don't know what they do, did he get any response? Remember, we're talking about finding peace in our life. And if you want this peace within, do you want to experience it? Do you want what the Lord wants? Jesus said, love your enemies, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Do you want that peace? Then be obedient. Take that step of faith. Be the first one to humble yourself. How do you go about it? You go with humility. You go with brokenness. You confess your faults. You don't go and say, listen, I'm going to forgive you for that stupid thing that you did to me. You know, that doesn't work. You go and you say, hey, I know I've been wrong here, and I ask you to forgive me, and I really want to be restored. With no expectation. Unconditional love. That's what it is. That's what the Lord calls us to. See, this is something that sets the Christian apart. That's what having, and you can receive the peace of God in that. Again, even if they don't do anything, even if they don't respond at all. Well, thirdly, not only do you want to have peace with God, not only do you want to have peace with others, but you want the peace of God in your life, don't you? Anybody want the peace of God in their life today? We do. We all want it, right? Well, that comes from having peace with God, of course. And this is a supernatural peace. Isaiah chapter 26 says this. Listen carefully. You, or he, will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. In other words, speaking of the Lord, you, the Lord, will keep him, me, you, us, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The world has no answer to peace, but the answer to finding peace as a believer, because listen, peace comes from God, and we have peace with God, but even some of us who have peace with God struggle with that peace with God. Anybody struggle with their peace? I do. I mean, this past week, 2 weeks ago, 2 Sundays ago, third service, right in the middle of third service, a snowstorm started. Remember? Some of you guys, any of you go third service, you had a tough time getting home. It took me an hour and 45 minutes to drive from here to Toms River. Couldn't get through the town of Lakewood. It was brutal. It was a disturbance to my peace. I had it happen again on Friday night. At the Silverton Relief Center, I was on my way there to do the Bible study. As I left my house, it's normally about a 10-minute drive from my house to the Silverton Relief Center. It took me 30 minutes because of the crazy Christmas shoppers that were out. These things disturb my peace. I'm not there. I haven't arrived. But the world has no answer to peace. I was reading about one fellow, he said, my therapist told me the way to achieve true inner peace is to finish what I start. So today, I finished 2 bags of M&Ms and a chocolate cake, and I feel better already. I don't think that's going to work too long, you know. That might feel good for a few minutes to have that chocolate rush. What kind of things are impacting your peace this Christmas? What do you base your peace on? Is it based on financial stability, having enough money? And you think, okay, well, I'm at pretty good peace because I'm pretty stable financially. Or reverse that, I'm really hurting financially, so I have no peace. Many who are successful have no peace. Even famous people, they got money, they got success, they've got fame, but they have no peace. In fact, some of them commit suicide. Obviously, no peace in their life. Relationships, maybe you try to find peace in a relationship, right? So you put all your dependence on the relationship with your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, or you're looking for a boyfriend or girlfriend. If I just would have that, then I'll have peace. And then all of a sudden, you get it. And you're thinking, if I could just get out of this relationship, then I'll have peace, you know? That's the direction it goes so often. Some try to find peace in alcohol or drugs. But listen, real peace only comes from God, that relationship with God. And for the Christian, real peace only continues to come from an ongoing relationship with God. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Stayed on him. Your mind. Renewing your mind. Keeping your mind on the things of God. Whatever things are pure and just and worthy of praise, as we talked about in Philippians, that our hearts and our minds are stayed on the Lord. Perfect peace comes to those whose minds are stayed on God. Meditating on his promises, trusting in him, his plans, his presence in your life. The angels sang, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Was there peace in that time? Was there peace even in the Christmas story? Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Joseph had peace when Mary said, hey, Joseph, listen, I'm pregnant? You think he had peace initially? I can tell you, no doubt. And even though she said, it's the Holy Spirit, he's like, yeah, right. How about Mary's parents? Mary goes to mom and dad. Hey, mom, dad, guess what? I had an angel appear to me and I'm pregnant. The Holy Spirit. Where's the boy? There's no peace within that. Joseph only received peace once the angel appeared to him and spoke to him when he heard from the Lord. You see, that's the point. When you hear from the Lord, that's when you really get peace. When you get a sense of the presence of God in your life. Do you think there was peace on the trip to Bethlehem for Joseph and Mary? They didn't want to go. Listen, you don't take your 8.5-month pregnant wife and put her on a donkey, if you even had a donkey. They may have walked the entire way. And say, oh, by the way, we've got to travel, you know, a bunch of miles, you know, 18, 20 miles to Bethlehem because Augustus says so. I'm sure Mary was like, oh, great. Let's go, honey. No, I'm sure there was some disruption to their peace. And when they got to Bethlehem, you can imagine it was bedlam in Bethlehem that day. It wasn't like a peaceful, oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. These Christmas songs definitely don't tell the truth. Silent night, holy night. There was nothing silent about it. The wise men, when they came to Herod, there was no peace in that. Herod killed thousands of children right after they were there, trying to kill the Christ child because of the threat to his throne. How do you think those mothers felt? Did they have peace? No. Not unless they turn to the Lord. You know, when you face death, it's hard to face to have peace. We've walked through this past year with my mom, my mother-in-law, and many others in our own church, and we've struggled with finding that peace. But let me say this to you. Listen, I know, people say to me, oh, you lost your mom. You know what? I didn't lose my mom. I know where she is. I lost my mother-in-law. I didn't lose her. I know right where she is. And so I am at great peace. Now, does it mean I'm not sometimes sad? No, I am sometimes sad. My wife is sometimes sad. Our family is sometimes sad. Every time my wife makes a Christmas cookie that reminds her of her mother, she cries. That's okay. That doesn't mean you don't have peace. You see, peace is not equivalent to every in emotion. It's an inner depth, just like joy. in which we say, you know what? I trust you, Lord. I know that they're secure in you. You see. There was anything but peace on earth that day, but yet the angels sang peace on earth because the Prince of Peace was being born. The one place that you can find peace is in him. And Jesus said these words on the night before he was about to go to the cross to his disciples in John 14, 27. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Do you want the answer to a troubled heart today? Jesus says, "Receive my peace. Receive my peace." Are you anxious today? Jesus wants to give you his peace. How do you deal with anxiety? Listen, a lot of people do different things. Deep breathing. Anxiety pills. You know, sometimes husbands will say to their wives, just change your emotions. That's not a good thing to say to your wives, guys, just to let you know. Just adjust your attitude. That's the advice some of the professionals give, and it might work to a degree, some of these things, but this, it's not inner peace, it's not deep peace, it's not real peace. Jesus has the peace the world cannot offer. Jesus has the peace for that troubled heart, and Jesus gives you the peace that surpasses comprehension. You know the verse in Philippians chapter 4. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication." Are you getting that? By prayer and supplication. Supplication is the idea of yieldedness to God. "With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And listen, "and the peace of God, which surpasses comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." A peace that surpasses understanding. And that peace will guard you. The idea of that is like it will stand guard. The peace of God will stand guard. And how does it come into your life? I mean, it's a supernatural thing, right? Something only the Lord can do. But as you seek him, as you sit at his feet, as you read his word, as you open it, as you let tears come down your face and you say, "Lord, this is what I need as I sit before you." Yieldedness to God. Important that we come with thanksgiving. Not demanding, and that peace, trusting the Lord even when you don't have the answers. Jesus said, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me, you will have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Listen, don't look for your peace within this world. You're not going to find it. It isn't there. You're going to face trouble in this world. You know, that's a promise. In this world, you'll have tribulation. I know it's not one we like to have, like to think about, but it's true. There's one last thing I want you to see before we close. We know that Jesus came into the world with the announcement of peace from the angels. But also in John chapter 19, or John chapter 20, I want you to turn there to John chapter 20 with me. John chapter 20, verse 19. And this is the very first time Jesus is appearing to his disciples after he's risen from the dead. It says, Then came the same evening, same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you." The first two things he says when he's risen from the dead is, "Peace to you. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. The very first thing Jesus says to his disciples when he appears to them, when he has risen from the dead, is peace. And he connects that peace to the receiving of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit is the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Jesus, and Jesus is peace, so his Spirit is the Spirit of peace. The Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside you can give you incredible peace, and coming upon you, he can help you walk in this peace. So in conclusion, they announced peace on earth, but clearly there was not peace on earth the way we might think of peace on earth. But there is peace to men in whom his favor rests. There is peace on whom will receive the grace of God. Will you receive the grace of God today? If you don't know him, will you open your heart today? I plead with you. The greatest Christmas gift that you can give to the Lord, that he is to receive the gift that he's given to you. And that is the gift of salvation, of eternal life. And Christian, are you at peace with fellow men? There's some today that the Lord has put on your heart. You know what? I need to make a phone call. I need to send an email. I need to contact this person. Take the step. Don't hold back. And do you have the peace of God in guarding your heart and your mind? Take your anxiety and cast it on him. He says, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. You can have it today if you'll call out to him. Let's bow our hearts.